My dad is gifted in many ways that I am not, and in some ways I wish I was. For example, Dad can take virtually anything that's broken apart and put it back together and it will function as new. I have long wished that skill had been passed down to me, but 46 years of living have put together a pretty strong case to the contrary. My dad is also extremely talented when it comes to any activity that requires accuracy. Horseshoes, air guns, darts. If it involves a target and a projectile, he gets it done with stunning efficiency, or used to before his eyesight started to fail him a bit. One of his favorite activities was shooting a bow and arrow, particularly in the form of deer hunting. My home state of Kansas held its first ever modern deer season in 1965. 3,900 permits were issued, bow and gun, and just over 1,000 deer were harvested that first season. One of those was by my dad, taken with a recurve bow. In fact, a lot of my early childhood memories of my dad center around him and hunting deer. Kansas has always had a 1 buck per season limit, and I remember vividly being mesmerized by the antlers of the bucks that he shot and the stories that went with them. I remember the pride I felt in my dad's accomplishments as I shared those antlers with my friends. Maybe because of those childhood experiences, antlers have always fascinated me, and they continue to do so today. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Let's get this episode kick-started with a review of something I've profiled on a previous show. Antlers and horns are very different, and many, many people mistakenly call antlers horns, though the reverse of that never ever seems to happen. Horns are permanent. They are not shed, with the exception of the pronghorn antelope. Horns continue to grow throughout the animal's life. There is a bony core underneath with a keratin sheath that covers over that bony core. Keratin, by the way, is the same stuff your fingernails are made of. Males of the species have horns. Females may or may not have horns, though if the females have horns, they are always smaller than those of the males. If horns are broken off, they do not grow back, and this can often be seen with the horns of older males. Alaskan species that have horns include Dall sheep, mountain goats, musk oxen, and bison. A great many folks will often refer to a moose's horns. Trust me, you'll never see horns on a moose, short of some sort of elaborate practical joke by a highly trained taxidermist. Moose have antlers, plain and simple, as do other members of the deer family, such as elk, caribou, and Sitka black-tailed deer, to name those species sporting antlers that are found in Alaska. Antlers grow, fall off, and grow back every single year. Antlers are composed entirely of bone. They grow from skin-covered knobs on the skull, called pedicles. These pedicles are permanent, and they're the point from which new antlers grow and old antlers fall or break off. Again, it's an annual process, though the process can vary from species to species. Let's take a look at that process in a general sort of way. In early spring, antlers begin to grow. Increasing hours of daylight cause the pituitary glands to give the signal to jumpstart the process. Actual growth typically begins in April or May. From May through late July, it's an incredibly fast process. In fact, antlers are the fastest growing tissue found in any mammal. For example, the antlers on a mature bull moose can be 60 to 70 inches wide and exceed 70 pounds, and all this has to grow back over the course of a summer. Broken down, this can amount to as much as a pound or more of antler growth per day. During this time of growth, the antlers are covered in velvet, a soft, plush, hair-covered layer of skin that has beneath it a network of blood vessels that transport calcium, phosphorus, proteins, and other vital materials from which the antlers are made. By late August, antlers reach full size or are very close to it. Testosterone production increases, which initiates the shedding of the velvet. The blood supply dries up, as does the velvet. By the middle of September, the velvet starts coming off, often rubbed off on trees by the animal. The bony core is revealed, which continues to harden and becomes polished with continual rubbing. The bone is often quite white, with blood stains when initially exposed, but gains a varying level of brown color with continued rubbing. Late September through the fall months represents the rut, the breeding season, with seasons varying depending on location and species. By late December through the early weeks of the new year, antlers begin to fall off, for most species. Antler shedding is tied to decreasing levels of testosterone. Shed antlers are an interesting topic in themselves. They are often a source of minerals and protein for smaller animals such as rodents, rabbits, and hares. Also, in many places, shed hunting has become a popular sport with many people. Some people look for sheds as a way to scout an area for the following season. The logic is that if an animal survived long enough to shed its antlers, well, no one else shot it, and it's still alive and kicking. Others hunt sheds to sell them. There's quite a market for shed antlers in many places. If you don't believe me on that, try looking up antlers on eBay sometime. I would issue a word of caution that some states have some pretty explicit rules in place for shed hunters, due to the fact that it's become that big of a thing and it's that competitive on public lands. I think probably my attention to antlers right now is maybe twofold. First of all, as I mentioned at the outset, I've always kind of had a thing for antlers, dating back to my earliest childhood days. I have almost every set of antlers from every antlered animal I've ever harvested, and I still get a big kick out of looking at the collection of antlers from those my dad shot. Also, I, like a number of other people from around the area, have been out caribou hunting, and the cows still have their antlers. Cow caribou antlers are a lot smaller than the antlers found on the bulls and also on many other antlered species. Still, it's amazing to me that some of these cows will carry their antlers for another month yet, and then a bit later, begin to regrow another set. The latest I've personally harvested caribou was the first week of April, many, many moons ago in another lifetime, seemingly. I shot two cows that hunt, and both still had their antlers. Moose antlers can be absolutely breathtaking, in both width and mass on mature bulls. Caribou antlers are spectacular in their own right. While not as massive, they are still very large. In fact, mature bull caribou have the largest antlers, in proportion to their body size, of any member of the deer family. Bull caribou antlers are extremely sweeping and high and can seem to dwarf the animal beneath them. Consider that the average caribou bull checks in at about 325 pounds, give or take a bit. Every spring they start with a clean slate, so to speak, in regards to a head that's devoid of antler. In a span of about 4 months they grow a complete new set that can weigh as much as 35 pounds, which amounts to around 10% of their body weight. Again, that amounts to the fastest growing tissue to be found on any mammal. So, what's with antlers anyway? Well, the primary function is related to reproduction. Antlers are used by male members of the species to establish dominance, a pecking order of sorts, during the rut. Sometimes antlers are more symbolic, but for many species they're functional. That is, they're used in actual fights to establish territorial or breeding rights. They do have other uses, though. Caribou use their antlers to clear away snow to get to the vegetation underneath. Some scientists believe that's one of the reasons cows evolved to have antlers as well. With moose and the impressive palmation of their antlers, it's thought that the antlers serve to enhance their hearing. Yet another use for all species is for defense against predators. I realize that not everyone is hung up on antlers. For many, getting out and getting an animal is simply a matter of getting meat and nothing more. Many of my friends that are Alaskan lifers routinely leave their antlers in the field after a successful hunt, and it's not uncommon to come across antlers that have been left behind. However, it seems like it's equally common to see sets of antlers attached to buildings, up on roofs, or sometimes nailed to trees. Still other people, like me, put them on display on interior walls, whether in the house or in a shed or workshop. As someone who has at times worked as a professional taxidermist, I often put a bit more effort into the display of some of mine. One thing that cannot be denied is that there is a great deal of interest in antlers in a lot of places. Need convincing? Some of the most common game violations across the lower 48 involve animals that are shot so that their antlers can be cashed in on. Antler collecting is a big thing in many places, from people who pay to acquire antlers to those who collect sheds as a hobby. As I mentioned before, antlers have value. A brief check of eBay or a quick internet search will reveal that to be the case. I once had a man buy a pair of modest whitetail sheds for me during a gas station stop. We were both filling up our vehicles, and he noticed a matched set of sheds that I'd found on my trap line. It turns out that he was some kind of sculptor who used antlers to create things, and he really liked the symmetry of the set that I had, even if they weren't particularly large. He offered me $25 on the spot, which I promptly put to use for the gas. Antlers will likely continue to fascinate me, even if they don't always have that effect on some of my hunting buddies. Fortunately, those same hunting friends who choose not to bring back their antlers have hunted with me long enough to not even bat an eye every time I want to bring back whatever I shoot, no matter the size. Regardless whether you too consider yourself to be an antler aficionado or not, antlers and the amazing way that they form each and every year is one of the really neat processes found in the mammal world. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.